Grace is returning, and good to see our friends back in church. Good to see Mr. Walter today. Looking good, my friend. Pam and Rick, you guys look fantastic. So good. Good to see you. So good to have you been back a couple Sundays, and God is doing some amazing stuff. I know for a fact prayers work. So if you get a chance, keep your bulletin handy all week long. Maybe put it on, like I said, I always recommend put it on the refrigerator. And when you go to get a drink, oh gosh, there's Sonia Harris. Let me pray for her, you know. And you guys need to pray for her because she's crazy. I guess that would be pray for us. But God does some pretty amazing things when his people pray. They come together. I would like to just add a prayer request. Found out this week that my sweet aunt, my mom's sister, fell in her house. She was trying to get to the phone and had her socks on and slipped on that hardwood floors. So even in your home, you got to be careful. But she ended up damaging her rotator cuff and I think broke her arm, her wrist. So please pray for her. Continue prayers for Pam and Rick's work. This sweet lady up here, I just can't imagine just the pain not going away. So please, please continue to pray for those in our church family that are hurting. Also, like to make some announcements here. There is no choir practice for the summer. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to send out an email to the praise team. So there's no praise team practice this evening as well. I think I sent out, I can actually maybe mention this since my brother's gone this weekend. My brother turns 50 this year. And I was trying to send out an email to everybody but him. And if you guys wouldn't mind, maybe shoot him a text, a little card or a note. Get as many people. I sent it all out to my family in Missouri and family down in Florida and Alabama. But it would be kind of fun to just inundate him with some cards just to let him know a happy birthday would be fun. I would appreciate that. So mom's birthday is coming up this week. And mom, the 14th, which is also Flag Day, as it says here in the bulletin. And then, of course, next week is Father's Day church service. And I believe there's going to be a special little breakfast in the morning. Yeah, there will be some delicious little food and fellowship. It's always good to get together and be able to chit-chat around some good food. So please keep that in mind for next week. And we need to thank our men that have stood by their families and help, you know, with what they can and support them as well. The parking lot fund, oh my gosh, we're so close. So keep that in your prayer. And if you feel like you can give a little to that, that would be wonderful. Just mark it on the envelope, parking lot fund. Is there any other announcements that need to be made today? Oh, yes, the business meeting is Wednesday night at 6, and that's for everybody to attend if you want to. It's we talk about what's going on with this business of the church, of running the church, all those type of things. So if you're interested or wanted to attend, it is at 6 o'clock. I know normal Wednesday services are at 7, but the business meeting is at 6. So there'll be a business meeting, but no regular service after that. Any other announcements? Thank you, Ms. Fondell. Oh, right. The business meeting is on the in the adult sanctuary and the adult classroom in the old building. All right. Well, let's just open up some prayer today. Dear God, I just want to thank you so very much for the sunshine you've been sending us. Thank you so much for this wonderful church family that we can come and gather together and worship together. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to even come into our church and worship. In a lot of places, it's not acceptable to do that. We live in such a great country. To God, I just pray that you keep blessing us and keep watching over us. Just be with those that couldn't be here today because of travels or illness, and bring them back safely to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Stand.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Jesus loves me, this I know. Beside me all the way.
invite you to stand again.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, listen to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, Holy Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaf beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living Word. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. For thou art love. Oh, send thy Spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word. Reveal, I see thee, Lord.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, guys. As is not a rare thing, I told Lou back there, John chapter 15, verse 9, and he's got that verse, don't you, Lou? Okay. But I'm going to start reading in John chapter 15, verse 1 through 9. Don't worry about trying to get it up, Lou, unless you can do it. All right, John chapter 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Each branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For with me you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. Father, we thank you for who you are and what you do in our lives. We thank you for the richness, the power, the beauty, the majesty, the truth of your word that empowers our lives, that gives us direction on a day-to-day basis. Not only that, in difficult times, it can be a great comfort to our souls. Lord, we just thank you so much for Jesus today. We recognize we're living in an untoward world. Many, many things going on all over the place. It's frightening sometimes to see the direction that's heading and is being taken by certain countries, by certain leaders. And we pray, Father God, that you would be with us as your people, as your church here in America. But Lord, for all the world, we know that there are Christian people in communist China today that are bold, that are being richly blessed because they're not afraid. They speak the word of truth and trust you for all that's in them, that you will save them to the uttermost. And you do. So, Father, give us courage that we might be the kind of people you would have us to be. We're in this country. This is our country. Father, that we might be a witness for you here and a light to the world. And Father, we ask your blessings on this service. If decisions need to be made this morning, open public decisions, whatever they might be. Pray, Father God, your will be done. For these things we pray in that mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. First, I want us to look at Israel. I want to give an example of Israel, how they got to Egypt first. And so I want to use that as an example. According to the book of Exodus, there was a famine in the land of Cana. And because of this famine, Jacob led the Hebrew people to Egypt. Actually, Jacob took his family to Egypt. It was 70 people in all. And he went down there to find better living conditions. And he was also looking to be in contact with his son Joseph again, I suspect. Now, because of Joseph's gift and his wisdom, if you remember, he was appointed second only to Pharaoh. But for not 430 years, Egypt prospered, and so did Israel. But the Bible says there arose a new Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And they began to fear Israel, and they began to try to enslave them. Israel stayed there for 400 years. That's a pretty good time. It's a good while. And God moved them again with a new leader. This guy's name was Moses. And God picked out Moses and said, go back and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And God used this man, Moses, to bring Israel out of bondage and bring them back to the land of promise. We might look and see there and understand that God was, when Israel was in Egypt, God was still working in the promised land. There was all those Hivites and Zivites and all those kind of folks, and God was working to eliminate them so that the land would truly be a gift to Israel. Friends, I want us to look this morning at everydayness, hardships. Every day brings something our way that we have to deal with. That we didn't plan on it, but it's something that happens. And it happens to everyone. And so this morning I want us to think about the God who works with us in real time in a world that's full of chaos, in a world that's full of adversarial beliefs and understandings, a world that's opposed to God, that we might see and understand that God is using these things. They're not just there. He uses these things to shape us, to mold us, to equip us for his service. So there's not a thing that you can say this morning that I will not say God can use that. Because I believe that's true. Now, sometimes we don't understand that, and we don't see that, and we just do not have that happen. But God uses things all the time. Adversarial things, things that comes up to get our attention, first of all. Sometimes we have to be humbled because we're walking along and prideful, and we're doing just fine, Lord. Thank you very much, and I'll call you if I need you. No. That's all wrong, but that's where we get sometimes. You know, the great Baptist pastor, Adrian Rogers, he was a pastor of First Baptist Church in Atlanta for a number of years. He told a story about a running back in football. And one day he said this running back in football, in his football career, it was him, had the ball. And it was one of those rare times when they actually gave him the ball. And I can remember when I was playing in Berlin, we had the Meany brothers. That's their name. On the right side. I was a right halfback. And we had these other two guys on the left side. And I could always run to the left side better than I could run to the right side. You know why? The Meany brothers each weighed about 350 pounds. And they could move guys. But you had to give them a moment to move them. It took them a little time to get up. Took them a little bit of time. But by the time they got moving, they were making a hole. But this young man played football. And he broke through the line. He could just, you know, wow, I'm out here all by myself. Nothing between him and the goal line. He was just rejoicing in his mind already. But this was the day that he was looking for. And he was looking to score his first goal, Adrian Rogers. Everything was in sight. He said to himself, one thing sure, that guy behind me isn't going to catch me today because I'm going to score. Now, that's always a little risky when you say stuff like that, you know. But he was running, and he was just feeling great about this. It would be the first time he scored and all this kind of stuff. And he dove for the goal line. Boom. And, of course, people piled on top of him. And he found out that there wasn't the goal line. It was the 5-yard line. Close, but no cigar. And so he was humiliated. All he had to do was keep running, and he would have scored. But he wanted to make this dramatic and be diving for the end zone, you know. And, of course, he didn't reach that goal at all because that wasn't the line. And, again, Adrian Rogers said he was humiliated. And, of course, he is an adult man. He's a great preacher. And that still lingered in his heart and mind. And he said, I never reached the goal line because I gave up too soon. That's what I want us to think about a little bit this morning. We can reach the goal line. We can get to wherever God wants us to be. The only thing that can stop us is us if we quit too soon. If it gets too tough, we want to stop. If too many people begin to oppose us, we want to stop. We want an easy way. We want all the stumbling blocks, all the blockers, all the tacklers out of the way. We want God to just mow all those things down. But God doesn't choose to do that because he realizes that this is a way he teaches us something. And we'll never learn those lessons without those kind of obstacles. Most people, the biggest problem they have, they just give up. I remember years and years ago out visiting out at Dorothy and Tom's out on Flutter Road, and Dorothy said, I've been talking to our neighbor down the road, and I want you to go out there and visit them, if you will. And so I said, okay, do you have a number? So she gave me the telephone number. I called them up and then talked to them. I told them I was Dorothy Richard and Tom's pastor, and this live a couple houses down from you. And I understand that you weren't going to church any place at this particular time, and I'd like to come out and visit you if I could. And it was kind of a, okay. So I went and visited with them. And we talked a little bit. First of all, one of the things that always try to somehow or another, you know, get to the point of the thing. Do you know Jesus or not? I don't care where you go to church or what you call yourself if you don't know Jesus. But anyway, so get to the foundation stuff and then build up. And so we began to talk about those kind of things. And I thought, well, they got a good testimony and all those kind of things. And then I asked them, how long has it been? Because Dorothy told me she thought maybe 7 or 8 years they hadn't been to church. How did she know that? Because they went by their house all the time. Their cars were still there. Used to be gone, but now they're there. Now they're there. And so I asked the guy that, and he said, well, about 7 or 8 years or something like that. I thought to myself, wow, that's a long time. And I thought, you know, what happened? I hate to ask that question because sometimes you get told, the preacher's a nut. He's just like you, you know. Obstinate character. You don't want to hear that, though. You know, I don't. Do you? Do you want to hear that? I don't want to. Anyway, but I asked him the question, and then I was just blown away. You're going to knock me over with a feather. I've used this illustration before. It's a true one. You know why they left the church that they left and hadn't gone to church for years and years and years, who were believers? I had no problem with their testimony. You know why they left? The color of the trash cans. Rod understands that. What color trash cans do we got? Does anybody know? Blue? Got a blue top anyway. Kind of brownish or something like that. Why does it matter? One thing for certain is you're saying, sure, it comes on Tuesday. If you don't get those things out on Monday night or something like that, they come any old time on Tuesday they want to come. Maybe 10 o'clock in the morning. Maybe it's 6 in the morning. You better get them out the night before if you really want to pick up the trash. But it doesn't make any difference what color the trash cans are, although I think the city does have colors that tells them those are our trash cans, they're not theirs, whatever, that kind of stuff. But trash can colors, you've got to be kidding me, right? You've got to be kidding me. Many times, we just stop and give up because of something. Can I use the word silly? It's silly. Jeremiah 29:11 was a favorite passage of one of our ladies here in church years ago. In that passage says, for I know the plan, I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Does anybody happen to know who that verse was their favorite verse? Some of you will know it. It was Diane Mann's. For I know the plans I have for you. This says, the Lord says this. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and plans to give you hope and a future. What was Diane struggling with? Cancer. It would have been okay, I think, if she would have said, Lord, what's going on here? I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm trying to serve you. I love you. All those kind of things. And I've got this cancer, and it just seems to be one thing right after another. Down, 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 down. But that was her life's verse. But she had to endure a lot of pain. I don't know. There are certain things that I say now that I might not say then. But if I get cancer, you're not going to radiate me. Just let me die in pain and anguish and all that. But don't burn me up and kill me. Because that's what it did. It was just burning her up, literally burning her up. Now listen, it doesn't mean in Jeremiah 29:11 that God is going to take away all the pain. It doesn't mean that God is going to make a super highway for you to walk on or anything like that. It doesn't mean you will never experience any kind of hardships or anything like that. None of those, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that God is with you all the time. He's holding your hand. He's walking with you. Whatever comes your way, he's not going to abandon you. You're going to go through it together. And you will get to the desired goal. It may not be your goal, but it's God's goal for your life. You'll get there. You'll get there. In Christ, you see, we have a future. It's spiritual. And God intends for us to grow in his grace and mirror the Lord Jesus in our everyday lives. Do we do that very well? Well, sometimes not too bad and sometimes not so good. That's for sure. But listen, I think we're either going out of a trial or we're going into a trial. In the midst of a trial. It's one of those. Someone told me years and years ago, all sunshine and no rain makes a desert. We want all sunshine. That's not good. We want all sunshine, though. James tells us, my brethren, count it all joy. God must be a lunatic. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work with you, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. These things are the tools in which God shapes our lives. These things are the tools that if we do not have, we'll never even get close to what we can be in Christ Jesus. We all want victory. We all want prosperity. We all want contentment, but we don't necessarily want to walk that hard road to get there. We want all these things because we have this strange idea of what happiness is. And sometimes we get everything we want and we find out what? Didn't want that after all. What we don't understand is that everything that comes into our lives comes through the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He permits it. He permits it for our good. Sometimes it's a testing. Sometimes it's a cleansing. Sometimes it's a learning thing. But yet, always through his hands of love. We know that we won't ever know how to play the piano. I've thought about this occasionally, Vondell. I wouldn't mind playing the piano. I think that's a cool thing. So you would ask me, do I want to practice? No, I don't want to practice. I just want, whatever. Well, listen, if we're not willing to practice, we're not going to play the piano. We're not going to play anything. We're not going to be good at football. We're not going to be good at anything. We have to commit ourselves to a regimen of discipline. And when we don't have that regimen of discipline, then we're going bing, 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 bing all over the place. With no direction whatsoever. Now listen, you may be gifted. And you can play the piano. But you still have to practice. You may have this unforeseen talent in you. But you still need somebody like Rhonda be your teacher and tell you to how you put your fingers down on that board, how to spread those fingers and this. Do, 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 do. You have to have that. And we usually can't do these things by ourselves. We have to have somebody that helps us. It's always good for somebody who is knowledgeable, someone who's been there, someone who's done that, to show us how that's done and can help us. It's time consuming. It's work. It takes determination. It takes sacrifice. We will not learn these things without that. God Almighty says in Psalms 147. Great is our Lord, and great is his power. His understanding is infinite, and the Lord lifts up the meek. He casts the wicked down to the ground. That's good. I'm glad. The Bible teaches that holy God is an all-knowing God. We talk about the omnis, don't we? This is omniscience. That means all-knowing. Paul tells us over in Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 33, he says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out." Listen, child of God here this morning. Closed doors, delays, dead ends don't have to be the end at all. They can be the beginning of something that's very important. And you had to learn that lesson before you could go to the next phase. If God tells you he's going to use you, he's going to use you. But sometimes he wants to use the new man in us, not the old man. And so it takes a little time to get the old man subdued and the new man come out. It takes a little time to change our value systems. It takes a little time to get a vision, a direction that we want to go in. We need to understand these things and the principle. God always allows something. We call them hardships. That means always he does that because God wants us to grow and he wants us to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. Simple things like you get stuck in traffic. Have you ever got stuck in traffic? Dennis and I are perfect on this wavelength. Dennis, you're much better, I'm sure. But anyway, I get stuck in traffic. I'm going. What's wrong with those people? Light's green up there. What's wrong? And so you inch forward, you inch forward, you inch forward, you inch forward. You finally get up to the traffic light. There's a terrible accident up there. If you'd have pulled out in the oncoming lane and went that way, you'd have another accident. We have to learn from these things, and we have to learn that being frustrated because our goals are not being met doesn't mean that God's goals are not being met and that God is not trying to teach us something very, very valuable. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction, but is for a moment, worketh for us for a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory." Contemporary English says this: these little troubles are getting us ready for eternal glory that will make up for all the troubles that we have to go through to get there. I think so. The Apostle Paul can witness to that, the miraculous truth of that. 2 Corinthians 11:25-30 says, Paul says, "Three times I was beaten with rods." Have you ever been beaten for Jesus' sake? No, I don't mean, you know, I remember, like I said, I was out in Washington, and I was out on the front porch, and we had this kid over there, and we had these little darts that you throw at a dartboard, and you know, had a little sharp end on them. And he went someplace, and there was a chair out on the front porch that we were sitting and messing with. It was a kitchen chair. It had, I don't know, it was plastic or something like that. And I took my little dart and went, tick, 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 tick. I was just poking holes. I was just having a great time. Tick, 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 tick. My mom walked down the porch. "What are you doing?" She was louder than that. She grabbed me by the shoulder, grabbed my shirt, pulled me up, and she started hollering at me. I don't know what she was saying exactly, but I don't think she was happy with me. And there was a couple of tubivores out there. There weren't 8-footers. My dad had cut a couple foot off. But one was about 3 foot or whatever. She grabbed that tubivore. Tubivore, 3 foot long. That's what she was going to use for a switch. And I thought, you can't even pick that up. You're not going to whack me with that thing. The worse I got, the more bad she got. She literally, I went down the steps out of the front of the yard. She drug that tubivore after me. And her idea was, of course, stop. But I wasn't going to stop. I'm not crazy. I'm not going to let somebody hit me with a tubivore. So I went around the house, and she went around the house. Finally, she got to the front porch, and she was tired. And she said these dreadful, dreadful words. Wait till your father comes home. Oh, no. I'd forgotten all about that possibility. She said, you just sit right here on the porch until your dad comes home. He should be home in a couple hours. Well, I didn't want to sit on the porch for a couple hours. I had a thing to do for people to see. But I had to sit there. You remember those little chairs? They were tin, and they kind of like that, and you could rock them a little bit. That's what I was sitting in for hours out there. And I found some kind of a sharp device in the front of that chair. Was painted, and I took the little sharp device and started scraping off the paint. You got to have something to do, right? Obviously, it probably needed painting or something. That's the reason I was thinking that or something like that. So my dad comes in, and he comes by me, and he says, what are you doing? I said, well, Mom's told me I had to sit out here on the porch, and she's going to tell you that I was doing something. And he said, oh. He said, well, she already told me that on the telephone. Oh. He says, what are you doing? I said, I'm just sitting in this chair. He said, where's all the paint in the front of the chair? Well, it's all scraped off because I had that little sharp thing I was scraping on. So then he wanted to see the chair that I was sticking the sharp thing in. Saw that. Okay. And, you know, I should have realized that my dad has had an explosive temper, kind of like me. I'm kind of like him, I guess. But anyway, but he was cool. And he was calm. He said, okay. All righty. I didn't have the microphone on it. All righty. Come over here. Grab those knees. Gonna get a couple of whacks. Oh, Dad, no, please, don't do that. You know, bend over. It's gonna get worse if you don't. Bend over. No, please, not Dad, no. Finally, my mom came out and said, what's going on here? I said, Dad's trying to beat me to death with a belt. And my dad told my mom, she said, go back inside, I'm handling this. For once in her life, she agreed with my father and went back inside. Well, I'm still alive, aren't I? So he didn't kill me. It did kind of hurt. I decided on the third whack, I better do something, scream, cry, do something, because it didn't seem to be, you know, he wanted some kind of a response. And so I gave him a response. Everything like that. Now, I know that if this would have happened in our time frame, some nice neighbor would have called the Child Protective Services and they would have come over and arrested my dad. But in that day, the Child Protective Services would have come over and, do you need a hand? I can whack him on one side. You can whack him on the other. Listen, discipline doesn't mean it's bad. These things, these obstacles, they don't have to be bad. We can learn from them. Paul says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. The Romans, punishment was that. Once I was stoned, that was a Jewish time. Three times I suffered shipwreck. I would have never got on the ship again after the first time. I don't care what was happening. I was a night and a day in the deep. So he was floating around there in the water. Wow. Verse 26, in peril of robbers, in peril of mine own countrymen. When he was on his missionary journeys, there were those places that the thieves would be laying in wait for people who were traveling from one place to another. His own countrymen, his own people, the Jews, would also against him. Verse 24 says, and of the Jews, five times, 40 stripes, save one. 39 stripes. Why did he only get 39? Okay, that's your assignment for next week. Oh, do you know that? Oh, young man. What was it?
Well, they thought that 40 stripes would kill a person.
Oh. They didn't want to kill you. Just do 39. The gospel says that Jesus received how many stripes? 39 stripes. They stopped at 39 because they understood 40 stripes would probably kill a man. They didn't want to kill him. They just wanted to beat him half to death. Paul also received 39 stripes. How many times? Five times. Five times? I remember years and years ago, we were watching some kind of something on television, and these two women were from Lebanon, and they were in Italy or something like that, and they had been put in jail by the Muslims, and the Muslims had them in jail for about 3.5 years, and then they deported them. You know why they deported them? Because these women wouldn't shut up in jail. They kept telling everybody that they met in jail about Jesus. And some of the people in jail that they told about Jesus, they became Jesus people. And the jail was getting evangelized. And they couldn't stop it. So the only thing they knew was, let's deport her, get her out of the country. And guess what? She was out of the country for about 2.5 years, she said. And she was preparing to go where? Back. And she didn't say it in so many words, but it was kind of like this. When I go back, they'll probably arrest me again, not knowing that they're putting me back in the ripest evangelism field of all. And I thought, wow, isn't that something? I think I'd stay in Italy or whatever, you know. Let somebody else go back there. Those experiences had taught them that even in those very difficult times, God was still in charge. God was blessing. God was moving in such dynamic ways it would have never happened any other way. Paul said he was hungry sometimes. He was thirsty sometimes. He was often naked. 1 Peter 2 says, for even here unto were we called, because Christ also what? Suffered for us, leaving us an example, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was any guile found in him. There's no deception in the Lord Jesus, no insidious cunningness, no duplicity without him at all and inside him. Jesus trusted the Lord God Almighty to turn all the sufferings in his life and the trials in his life to work redemption for those in that day and those in this day. We wouldn't even be talking about him. Yet he not suffered all those things and went to the cross. And we wouldn't talk about him if he just died on that cross. A lot of people died on crosses. Romans thought it was a really good way to kill people. But on the third day, he arose again. So we serve a risen Savior. Who overcame, and still overcomes, and can help us overcome everything in our lives. And this life is not all there is, friends. That was the thing that Diane understood about that verse. It doesn't mean everything right now in this time frame of life, everything is going to be beautiful. But there's more to this than that. And that beauty is coming. And I'm claiming it. That's what she was saying. That's what she was saying. First Peter says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his footsteps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him, God the Father, that righteous judge, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By those stripes we are healed. For we are as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and the bishop of our soul." Everything. And life is full of many disappointments. Everything God can use. And teach us, show us, lead others, and open doors because of that. And Jesus is that great example. We cannot accomplish what God has for us without being a part of life. And life is struggle. Life, sometimes hard. Bit by bit, though, life is what God uses to witness to others. Is this not where God wants us to be? Sure it is. That's why you're there. John 15:9 says, "As the Father hath loved me," Jesus said, "so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abides in his love." Jesus is that great example of suffering that's redemptive. The adversity that can be overcome. Jesus could overcome. Remember in his ministry, they brought to him people. Sometimes it was a man who had never been, who had never walked in his life. He was in the temple, remember? And Jesus said, "Get up and walk." And he did. And the people there that day went, "Woohoo! Wow, wow! Fantastic! This is the guy we've been sitting, he's been sitting right here for 20 years. Now he's walking. Mark, glory to God. Glory." Is that what they said? Uh-uh. They said, "Doesn't he know that this is the Sabbath day? Don't they know what the Sabbath day is for?" I might ask. God's got, these are all his days, every one of them. Whether it's Monday, Sunday, Sabbath, Wednesday, doesn't matter. They're all his. And he can use them and will use them as he sees fit. And we ought to be thankful for that, because that means that we're able to be in that place where God can use us in all our infirmities, in all our weaknesses, in all our faux pas, in all the things that we do wrong. He can still use us to bring glory to himself. It's amazing. It's amazing. When we were in Korea, there were some brother missionaries right outside our gate, not too far in this little small Korean village. They were Canadian brethren. I didn't even know what a Canadian brethren was. But anyway, that's what I was told. They were Canadian brothers. They were doctors. Husband and wife were both medical doctors. Now I'm thinking to myself, what small village in Korea or any place else in the world wouldn't want to have two doctors in their community? We learned about them. I didn't learn about them directly. It was indirectly. But we began to understand that there was a need, because he had to go back to Canada to raise deputation. At that point, I didn't even know what deputation was. Maybe you don't know what it is either. It's to raise money so he can stay on the field. He went back to Canada to do that. Now, I don't mean he never came back, but he didn't come back while I was still in Korea. And I was there 13 months. So he was in Canada for over a year, and I understood later on, Ron wrote me a letter, told me that he sold the family farm in Canada, took some of that money or all that money, came back to Korea. Why? He was sold out for Jesus. He understood that a farm in Canada is not as valuable as the soul that comes to Christ in Korea. The soul that comes to Jesus in Indiana. The soul that comes to Jesus in Portugal. The soul that comes to Jesus in Germany. The soul that comes to Jesus in England. Nothing more valuable. God puts it all on the line that those can be saved. Aren't you glad? Because you're one of those. One of those. So when you have some hardships, when the life is not treating you well and stuff is not going right, you know, you get out there and start your car and it goes zzz. Now, I usually jump out and go, where's my jumper cables? Todd's got the jumper cables. He's messing around with the car. Matt's got them in his car. I've got to start my car. And she would never, but she does that a lot, which is good. She looks at me like I'm a lunatic. Have you seen that look? The lunatic look? What's wrong with you? You're a nut. The car won't start, but it'll start. There's going to be some more jumper cables around here. Something will happen. We'll get it going. These things are just temporary little roadblocks. We can learn from those in our life to be dependent upon Him in all things. I want to tell you, and you won't believe me, and I understand why. Jesus has never failed me. Never. We've always had enough to eat. We've always had enough to put gas in the car. We've always had enough. We live in a house that's got a heater in the wintertime. Got something called air conditioning in the summertime. We've got a refrigerator in this thing called a kitchen. Hey, we've got one in the garage. How about you guys? You got two? Sure, everybody got to have two. Sure. The one out in the garage is making a funny little noise. And when you open the door, sometimes it smells like Freon. I think it's trying to quit. Does it matter? Not really. We've got one inside. We've got a freezer right next to it. 90% of the world would love to have that one that's those Freons leaking in. God is so good to us over and over and over and over again. He watches out for us. He keeps us safe. He provides for us. He lifts us up. He gives us direction. When we fail, He picks us back up again. All these kind of things. God never leaves us, nor will He ever forsake us. That's not His way. And we thank Him for it. Lord, trials come. Adversities come. Sometimes we jump too soon. We quit too soon. We're right there on the finish line, but we quit too soon. But we don't have to do those things. And in those things, we will be lifted up and we will be used. We talk about people. Sometimes 100 years ago, we talk about John Wesley, George Whitefield, missionaries to China, Lottie Moon. We talk about these people. They're real people. They lived in those times. Lottie Moon, it said, took newspaper, put under her clothes, because it was cold. But that warmed her. Undeterred, we must be undeterred and ever thankful for what God gives us every day from His gracious hand. Lord, help us to be that kind of people. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to have an invitation song this morning. If you have something to make public, you come. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. If you want to come up here and want to use this as a player of prayer, kneeling place, that's fine. Whatever it might be. You respond to God, okay? All right.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Thank you.